Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Once Anna and I were in this pretty heated argument, and we were escalating, and I remember God just speaking to me saying, stop, draw a line. And I said, I can't. The Lord just spoke to my heart and said, this is manini. This is very small. It's an inconsequential thing that you're arguing about, and you're destroying something far bigger. Stop, draw a line. In my mind, I was arguing with God. I can't. The Lord said, why? I said, because I'm winning.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message about the woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees were trying to lead Jesus into a trap. Should we give her mercy or should we give her justice? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will bring it down to the present right where we live. We'll learn that if we admit we are a sinner, we receive God's mercy. If we refuse to, we receive His justice. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Drawing Lines.
Come on, what should we do? And Jesus just takes His time. He doesn't even answer Him. He just bends down and writes on the ground. It's like, I got all day. And they're saying, come on, should we kill her? We're ready to pelt her with stones. Oh, he straightens up. Come on. It's like they were saying, what should we do? It's like Jesus said, well. And they kept persisting, the scripture says. Jesus straightens up and says, let him who is without sin, you be the first to whack her with a stone. I always wondered what Jesus wrote on the ground. Must have been something pretty powerful, simple but powerful, because they began dropping stones one by one and the older ones leaving first as they were convicted. He drew on the ground. What was it? You know, I'd suggest that he just drew a line. Almost as if he were saying, you think this woman crossed the line, didn't you? Do you remember? Then he stooped down again and drew again, second time. It's almost as if he drew a line saying, the woman crossed the line, didn't she, in your perspective? So she deserves death. Is it you that draws lines for people that gives you the self-righteous feeling that you can now murder and it feels justified? It's interesting, sometimes when we think we're the rightest is when we are dead wrong. You think she's crossed the line, so that allows you to murder and think that you're serving God. Do you remember then he stooped and drew another line? It's almost like he drew the second line and said, what about you? Have any of you stepped over a line? If you haven't, you be the first to cast a stone. And you can't draw lines for yourselves, can you? I'm going to draw a line for you. Here's the whole crux of the message. It's as if Jesus is saying, can you draw a line for yourself? See, we're good at drawing lines for other people, saying they crossed the line. You know what he did? You know what she did? That's it. And it almost gives us this justified self-righteousness to gossip or to slander, have character defamation. We have them for lunch and we talk about them. And it's like God saying, can you draw a line for yourself? Look how far you're stepping over the line. You're saying they stepped over the line, but can you draw a line for yourself? And here's the whole message. Are you ready? If you can't draw a line for yourself and your actions, you're not ready to draw lines for anybody else. That's what he said to the Pharisees and scribes. See, we're good at drawing lines for other people. You know what they said? You know what they did? This is it. And then it kind of gives us the right to just gossip and rumor again and again, and we escalate. We escalate from what was once a disagreement. But if you can't draw a line for yourself, you find yourself pressing, not just into disagreement, but into a land of hatred, division, disunity. How did you get there? I didn't draw a line. I drew a line for them. I didn't draw a line for myself. And what started with a little bit of like now turns into lust because we haven't drawn a line. What started with greed because we didn't say that's enough. Now we're stealing credit, stealing anything that we can. What started with, I deserve. If you don't draw a line on that now, you're filled with pride or ego and you can't even see it. It's almost like the Lord has to come in and say, you stepped way over the line. See, if you cannot draw lines for yourself, we have no right to start drawing lines for anybody else. That's what he's saying. Don't you see that reiterated again and again throughout the Gospels? We find in Matthew 7, the Lord says, how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole in yours? Isn't that right? You'll see that all throughout the Gospels. It's the same thing. And Jesus is drawing not one, but two lines. And he's saying, can you draw a line for yourself? We've done that. Where we don't draw lines and we move to false conclusions. And we move into slander. Lust goes into adultery. Why? Because somewhere along the line, God spoke to us and said, draw a line, and we couldn't. You say, well, but it's hard to draw a line because I just want to go forward. Yeah, it's not easy to draw a line for yourself and just say to yourself, enough, stop, just stop. But because we think we got somebody else pinned against the wall, we drew a line, they cross it. Now it just gives us this justification to just keep going on into grosser kinds of things that might be a little more subtle and acceptable in the Christian realm, but it's still wrong. Can we draw a line? That guy over there, he's smoking or he's drinking, but we're slandering and gossiping and having character defamation. We think it's okay. It's like it blinds us. Here again is the crux of the message. If you can't draw a line for your own words and your own talk, you're not ready to draw lines for anybody else because there's two lines. And if you're not careful, would you write in your notes? Here it is. Are you able to draw lines for yourself? And the next one, if not, the enemy is poised to injure you and destroy your future. The enemy is poised to injure you. Write those two in your notes. You're going to have some lines down there that later on I want you, just for homework, to write in some of the areas where you need help drawing lines in, because it's not easy. Maybe it's argument with a spouse. And it just escalates and escalates because we can't draw lines. It's hard. Yeah, it is hard, but it takes discipline. Now listen carefully. You're going to have two pains in life, P-A-I-N-S, two pains in life. Are you ready? It'll be the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. You choose. See, some people don't want the pain of discipline, so they keep going and then they regret their life. They regret their last year. They regret what they did. And they have a life filled with regret. In a sailor's jargon, they say it this way. You'll either be ruled by the rudder or you'll be ruled by the rocks. But you'll be ruled by one or the other. Because inside of us should be a rudder that steers our conversations, our life, our decisions. You'll either be ruled by the rudder or you'll be ruled by the rocks. It's up to you. And the Lord is saying, learn to draw lines. What are some of the areas in which you need to learn to draw lines? It could be even in the negative way of just demeaning yourself, where you're injuring yourself through bad thoughts. And the Lord says, can you draw a line on that? Stop it. Can you draw lines? I remember once Anna and I were in this pretty heated argument. It wasn't my fault. And we were escalating. And I remember God just speaking to me saying, stop, draw a line. And I said, I can't. He said, the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, this is manini. This is very small. It's an inconsequential thing that you're arguing about. And you're destroying something far bigger. Your relationship and your love one for another. Stop. It's escalating into something like becoming a monster in its own right. Stop. Draw a line. In my mind, I was arguing with God. I can't. The Lord said, why? I said, because I'm winning. See, that can happen with us. Lust comes into our mind and we're making ground towards our flesh and our want and our desire. And the Lord says, draw the line. Oh, I'm already going that way. Draw the line. Because you'll either be ruled by the rudder, you'll be ruled by the rocks. Because if I can't draw a line in my own life, I'm not ready to draw lines for anybody else. And that'll happen right here among us. Because you see, if our faith doesn't get proved out where we're able to draw lines, if our faith grows and we can draw lines, your faith will turn to gold. I call that self-correcting. If you can self-correct in the middle of your thoughts, in the middle of your flesh starting to take over and escalate, if you can draw a line and say, enough, your faith will turn into gold. If you cannot draw lines, your faith will turn into religiosity, where you're ostensibly a Christian, but really there's flesh running like a wild current underneath. And it's motivating everything else. And we can fool people by how spiritual we are, but underneath our life's in shambles. We live a dual life. And that's what's happening with the Pharisees. And that's why Jesus exposed them. But if you can self-correct, your faith will turn into gold. If you cannot, your faith will turn into religiosity. And you see that in the book of Peter. Peter says it this way, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, will found to be resulting in praise and glory. That the proof of your faith, see, not just your faith, the proof, your faith will get proven. It will be tested. Can you draw the line and say, enough? That happens to us. When your lust gets going, your gossip gets going, your slander gets going, you don't know what the real truth is, but we just like it and we let it run. And then it begins to draw lines for other people, which causes divisions when we should have drawn a line right here. And that's what he said to the Pharisees and scribes. They knew it. That's why they started dropping rocks. In fact, I've heard recently, I mean, Pastor Elwin had a great service last week. Their church is going really good. We're excited for him. In fact, I want you to know he's still on staff with us. We're paying him full salary for many more months, and we're giving his church a grant of $40,000 a year for the next 3 years. I mean, we want to set up our people so that they succeed. And so this church is supporting it in a huge way. And some people, one of them said to me, you know, it's like a divorce. Why'd you fire him? I said, what? It's like a divorce. We're children caught in a divorce. I said, first of all, I ain't married to him. That's gross. Secondly, I wanted to fire him many times, but I didn't. But thirdly, I said, wait a minute, it's not a divorce. No. I said, Elwin may be more one of my more independent sons, but he is still my son. And we have sent out many of my sons, Fernando, Aaron, Sam Kapu, Mike Lewin, all of these. And Elwin came to Christ under my ministry. We trained him for 10 years and we've sent him. And when my sons feel it's ready to go, it's not for me to say no. I will set them up and help them as best I can. But you see, what happens is if we're not careful, we let the rumors get going and going, and we just can't draw lines. So what happens is we draw division lines everywhere. I said, stop. No, because the devil's ready to pelt us with rocks and with glee and injure us. Do you understand what God is saying? I didn't draw just one line. You drew the first. I will draw the second. And it's closer to you. Lines. And if you can draw lines, you'll be able to self-correct and your faith will turn to gold. Then you'll be ready to help others see the lines. Not until. In fact, in the parlance of leadership, I say it this way. The most conspicuous way that you can tell that a person is ready to lead others is by his ability to first lead himself. That's what makes great leaders. If you can't lead yourself, don't try it with others. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. So they begin dropping rocks one by one. He's left with this woman. And he turns and says to this woman caught in adultery, where are your condemners? She said, there are none. And Jesus says something really neat. Neither do I condemn you. And he doesn't just ignore her sin. He says, go and what? Sin no more. Yeah, he doesn't ignore sin. Now, how did he have the authority and permission to say, you're forgiven, now go and sin no more? I'll tell you how he gets that authority, because he knew as he was speaking to that lady and giving her forgiveness, he knew that he had the authority to say that, because just in a few days, he will be on a cross dying for that lady's sin. He will pay the price for her sin. The sin would not be just evaporated. No, he will pay the price. Because see, the real question of the Pharisees and scribes was this. Is it the justice of God or the mercy of God? Which one? Which one is it, Jesus? Come on. Knowing that whatever he'd say, he'd be wrong, because you need them both together. How do you harmonize the justice of God and the mercy of God? That's tough. Because if God were a just God, we'd all be in hell today, wouldn't we? If God were just always merciful, then people could steal from your house and take your kids and mess up your wife and whatever it might be, and then we'd have to say, oh, forgive them, it's okay, it's okay. No. God is a just God, but he's also a merciful God. And that's what they were pinning Jesus with. How can you harmonize the two? Because if you did one or the other, you'd be wrong. But here's the cool thing. Jesus knew in a few days he would be on Calvary, impaled on a cross, where the justice and the mercy of God would harmonize. Because he would pay for the sins of the world, be taken on his shoulders, and he would suffer the pain and injustice for our sins. The justice of God would be given. But the result of that, redemption and forgiveness would result, and we would be forgiven for our sins. Was the justice of God? Did it happen? Did it take place? Mm-hmm. The mercy of God? Mm-hmm. See, the cool thing about the cross, and that's why we love the cross so much, is because the justice of God and the mercy of God happened in one place. It harmonized. That's what the Pharisees and scribes couldn't see with the law. That's why Christ is the harmonizer. He takes the New Testament, Old Testament, and it goes to the cross. If you see the cross here, people in the Old Testament look forward to the cross. We now look back to the cross because the justice and the mercy of God is harmonized in the cross. That's the power of God. And that's why the scribes and Pharisees couldn't understand it, because they didn't know the cross. They didn't believe in that. They rejected that. We say, well, what should we get, the justice of God or the mercy? Real easy. Watch this real closely. If you admit that you're a sinner, you will receive the mercy of God. If you refuse to admit that you're a sinner, you receive the justice of God. It's that simple. You admit that you're a sinner, you receive the mercy. If you refuse to admit, the pride of man, I don't need God, you will receive the justice of God. It's up to you. He paid the price for both. That's why 1 John 1:9, it says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that? If we what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. You admit your sins, you receive his mercy. You refuse, you receive his justice. It's up to you. And that's why he paid for everything on the cross. If you're new to New Hope, I want you to hear his words, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What does that mean? Some people come to me and say, you know, Wayne, this Christian thing, it's just a life filled with do's and don'ts. So if I'm going to be a Christian, I live a life of frustration. I said, no. If you live a life in Christ, you live as a forgiven person, not as a frustrated person. And that's what he said to this woman. Go and sin no more. You know what he was saying? I forgive you. Now go live as a forgiven person. Live as a forgiven person. Live that way. Did you understand the grace of God? Go live as a forgiven person. Go. And then we catch it. That's it. If you've never experienced this forgiveness and you're new to New Hope, I want to give you a chance to say, Lord, I do need you. I do have a checkered past. And I open my heart to receive your forgiveness, not your justice, because I deserve your justice, but I'm asking for your mercy. And the Lord then said, then will say to you, neither do I condemn you. Why? Because I admit that I'm a sinner. That takes humility. You receive the mercy. Refuse, you receive the justice. And that's why when Jesus says, come, follow me, what an invitation. Yes. It's just the pride of man that causes us to reject his invitation. Don't do that. Don't let that happen. That's why the scribes and Pharisees all withdrew. Let him give you that invitation and receive his mercy. As we close, I want to encourage you to do that. If you've never received the mercy of God, if you've never received him as Lord and Savior, today, do it. Do it. And I'm going to ask you to raise a hand in a second if that's you. And again, that's an outward expression of an inward commitment. Just like baptism, an outward expression of an inward commitment. You die to the old and say, I'm going to follow Christ. You've made that commitment, and the Lord commands us to have an outward expression. Baptism starts the ball rolling. Otherwise, we'll always end up with a covert faith that never changes our lives, never reflects in anything. It's just something that we keep private, and it never affects our life. The Lord says, no. It's got to become something that affects your life, because then you're like a lamp on a lampstand. You'll affect the community, and then the state, and then the world. And it starts with you in baptism. That's one of your first outer expressions of an inward commitment. And then it starts to steamroll, and it starts to affect every other area of your life, where that which is hidden becomes that which is public. And even sin that was hidden becomes confessed into the Lord. So it starts that wonderful process of regeneration, the Bible calls it. If you've never said yes to Jesus, do it today. And give that expression of a heart that's open to his mercy. If you're a Christian, I'm going to give you a challenge too. Some of you need to draw some lines, and those lines in your notes are just home for homework later on this week. What are some areas? You don't need to show this to anybody. What are some areas that you need to work a little bit more in drawing the line? Maybe it's in the area of you getting angry and it just escalates and escalates. Or drinking, or lust, or greed, or gossip, or rumors. What is it? We all have those stuff that we've got to work on. I do too. But the Lord, remember, is saying, here's the crux of the whole thing. If you can't draw a line for yourself, we're not ready to draw a line for anyone else. Well, let's bow our heads as we close. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I do need the Lord. I've got a checkered past, and I need to ask him to come and be my Lord and Savior. I'm asking for the mercy of God. And if that's you, right now, would you raise a hand and you say, I want to open my heart to Christ. Okay, yeah, all right. Okay, you too. Yeah, the Lord sees those hands. Yeah, just raise them up. Let heaven see it. It's an outward expression of an inward commitment. Okay, you too. Yeah, yeah, all right. In the back, yeah. Raise your hand to heaven. Yep, I see those. Yep, so many. Yep, good. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, outside the ushers will have a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please grab one. It's free. Just let them know. Now let me turn to those of us that are Christians. And if you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I need help in drawing some lines. There's some areas that I've been stepping over the line. While drawing lines for others, I don't draw them for myself. Lord, would you help me? If that's you, would you raise a hand? Go ahead. Yeah, I raise mine with you. Yeah, because there's areas I need to work on. Let's all be honest before God. Remember, when you admit your failings and your short-sightedness, you receive God's mercy and wisdom and help. If we refuse to, you receive God's justice. I need God's help. So be open to that. We're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud with me. Pray this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want to be. come into my heart. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, and I hear myself. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome these who said yes to Jesus Christ.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Drawing Lines by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.